Hi, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft, and today Laura Rebelke and I are going to cover some of the tenets of a new technology called Microsoft Power BI. A lot of the features of Microsoft Power BI are hosted in Excel 2013, and there's also a conduit from Excel 2013 up into SharePoint Online that also can be enabled with Power BI. So you can take assets that you create in Excel, you can share those to the web, to your mobile device, and you can collaborate on those. Some of the specific features that we're going to look at today are we're going to do four different demos. The first one will be an introduction to Power Query and Power Map using the example of an airport and flights around the world, mainly in Europe, actually. The next one is a more in-depth power map example that's on Hurricane Sandy, done by Laura. After that, I'm going to take some data from a visualization that's been done by Edward Tufte around Napoleon's March, and we're going to do a little bit of power map technology on that. And then we'll finish up with a World Health example that was done on a TED Talk by Hans Rosling. So, four different examples of visualizations, and we'll kind of step through them one by one. So for the first visualization, let's look at Power Query and Power Map at the airport, and I will take this visualization on. Let's step into Excel now and look at Power Query and Power Map, especially around the European airport. If you come to this Power Query tab and we do, say, an online search, it'll give us this bar over here, and we can type in world's busiest airports in Europe, hit the search button. It's going to then do a query of the web, and it'll give us this slide out of all the different data sets that we can look at. So, for instance, I'll just take this 2011 statistics, or 2012, doesn't really matter. Let's go ahead and click on that, and what this is going to do is give us statistics of the busiest airports all around the world. Now, I want to filter and shape. I could just start using this data right off the bat, or I could filter and shape it. So let's go ahead and do that. This is going to give us an interface that we can come in and shape our data the way we want to. So while these columns are interesting, they may not be really columns that we care that much about. So let's go ahead and delete these. Now we can remove the columns that we have highlighted, or we can remove everything else, which is nice. We can also do things like remove dupes, remove rows with errors, replace values, change the type, and we're gonna do that in a second. We can do group bys, and we can unpivot, which is a really powerful technology that's really challenging to do in traditional SQL, ANSI SQL or T-SQL, but it's fairly intuitive and simple to do in Power Query. So let's go ahead and remove the columns that we don't want. And then for these two columns, we know that they're going to be numeric. So let's go ahead and change the type to a numeric type, number type. And now we've got the data pretty much in the way that we care about. So let's go ahead and select done. What this is going to do is take us back into Excel, and we've got a nicely formatted table here. Then what we can do, since we're done with Power Query, let's go into the insert menu. And we'll go and we'll create a power map of this data. So the nice part about this is that we can take data that's in rows and columns, and suddenly we can get something that's kind of human readable from a mapping standpoint. And that map will then allow us to visualize the data where it resides. So you can see here that the map took us to a place that is over in Europe, spun the globe around automatically, and we'll just hit next since it mapped the city the way we wanted it to. And once that's done, then we can look at our passengers for 2011 and 2012. So very simple to do. We put our passengers on the map, and we can get rid of this if we want, or just move it. Let's just go ahead and get rid of it for now. And what I'll do as well is there's a lot of labels, things you can do, themes, all that kind of thing up here. Let's go ahead and put labels on. And we might also want to zoom in a bit. So now we can get a sense of the world's busiest airports. We can do screen captures. We can create videos. We can play tours if we want. and or we can just flatten it out if we wanted to. So there's lots of options that you get, and we'll go into those in a bit more detail in a second here. But just wanted to kind of show you the power that you have here to quickly visualize geospatial data, and Laura will go into that in more detail. So thanks.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. As Mike mentioned, I'm going to talk about Power Map, which is part of the Power BI suite of tools that you'll be seeing light up in as the year comes along. And actually, this is available for you to download and play with today in as an Excel add-in. The premise of today and what we're going to do, we're going to build out some pretty fun, cool visualizations, playing with some data. I've got data coming from multiple sources because that's the way we live today. We don't just always get a chance to work with data coming from a nice single, you know, relational database. We're pulling data from the internet. We're pulling data from online sources. We're pulling data from other unstructured or semi-structured kind of sources. And this is a demonstration that shows how you can put some visualizations on that kind of experience. So what I have, I've got data that I've put up into our HD Insight service. It's our Hadoop on Azure service. And I've got up in my HD Insight service, I've got data coming from about flight information. And this is, you know, freely available, downloadable CSV information. I put it up into HD Insight and put some structure around it using Hive. In addition, I've got weather data coming from, again, government sources, free government sources. Also put that up into HD Insight. Data that I get for my flights information, you know, it's not very descriptive. And so what I did was I pulled information from the internet and did a search using Power Query to look for airline codes, because what I'd like to do is, instead of what you see with our flight data where they might give a carrier code like AA, I would like to have it be more descriptive, like American Airlines. So I was able to find a table of information that's available, so I pulled that down into Power Query, did some shaping of the information, and loaded that into my environment as well. And all of this is sitting now up into my Power Pivot. And if we look in Power Pivot and we go to diagram view, you'll notice that we've got our interesting data, including our flight data coming from HD Insight, our weather by station data coming from HD Insight. I've got my airline codes, which was coming from my Power Query online search. And I also pulled data into Power Pivot from the Azure Data Marketplace. And this is actually a free set of data that's available from Azure Data Marketplace. It's a date dimension. I'm a little lazy. I don't want to have to write and rewrite my date dimensions. So I took advantage of the work that somebody else put together and put up into the marketplace. What you're seeing off to the left, this is another set of data. It's called Sandy data. And this is something that we're going to add to our visualizations as well. And if we go back into our data view, I'll show you what this data looks like. This is information that is at a particular time, on a particular date, in a location that's marked by longitude and latitude. We have stats around the wind mile per hour, the air pressure, and the type of storm that is marked at that time. And this is tracking Hurricane Sandy, which happened at the end of October all the way through to the beginning of November. So all of these sets of data, including, like I said, our data coming from flights, there's, you know, about 1.5 million rows there, nothing too extreme, our airline codes, weather by station, we've put all of this into Power Pivot, and now we're going to put some visualizations on top of it. And we'll do that using our Power Map. To get to Power Map, I went out to Bing. I did a quick search for Power Map for Excel 2013. I downloaded and installed the add-in. We'll launch Power Map. And we'll just select a new tour. And what we're going to do is create a new tour, which is a collection of scenes. And our scenes, you can see off to the left, this is going to be our pane of scenes, or a selection of scenes. And we have just a single scene that's been started. Off to the right are the available data sets. And in the middle, you see our nice little globe. The first thing we're going to be asked to do is provide some kind of geographic information that the service can use to plot our data points. So we have information in our table, and what I'd like to do is understand how many times we've got flights that are marked as delayed or canceled. And I can do this by airport. And we're going to look at the airports as they've been marked as in the origin, so where the flight is originating. And off to the right, what I'm doing is selecting origin city and origin state from my flight data table. You'll notice that it immediately plotted out all the data points for our data. Now, do note that I've only pulled in data for the United States, so I don't have data coming in for any other country, but this certainly can plot out information all over the world. So off down to the bottom of our data pane, you'll notice that I selected origin city or origin states. When I did that, the Power Map mapped that information to city and to state. So it recognized, even though it's not saying city and state, it's saying origin city, origin state, it did recognize that that is a pattern that looks like a city, and it made a recommendation that we'll map it to city. I'll say next, and then we'll start plotting out our data. So all we're doing now is looking at what data points have been plotted. I'd like to add some visualizations about the data itself. As I mentioned, I'm interested to find out, was a flight delayed? How many delays are at each of the airports? And if I select delays, it creates a column chart for all of our airports. And you can see immediately, Chicago tends to have a lot of problems, a lot of delays. And those who fly regularly in and out of Chicago would recognize, yes, that actually is a really common occurrence out there. My favorite city, but it is an awful airport. I'm also interested not just in the delays themselves, but how often a flight is canceled by airport. So if we select canceled, it plots delayed and canceled into a single column. And we can zoom in, and you can see there's a little bit of orange underneath our blue. So we can see the number of cancels and the number of delays within the data set that we've selected. In the bottom right on our data pane, there are a few options that we have available. You'll see that we've got, you know, these two visualizations. We can either stack our values on top of each other or put them next to each other. If I select the next to each other, you'll see that they stack right next to each other. I'm going to keep them stacked just because I think it's a little more visually interesting and it saves real estate. We're going to be adding some more things onto our visual. One additional thing that I'd like to do is add some date time information. So we have our date key from our table. And when I add the date key, all I did was click on it. Power Map understood that this was a date time data type in my data source, and it mapped it to our time data. And when it maps it to the time data, down below in our map, you'll notice we now have this play bar. So we can play this information over time. If I hit play, you'll see the number of delays and the number of cancels growing over time through the data set. Also off to the right, what I'd also like to point out is that there are a couple of settings for that time, and these are available through this little clock dropdown. And the time settings are important because it changes how the data might display or play over time. One of the settings is, by default, data accumulates over time, just as you saw. Another setting is that it stays until it is replaced, which means I will keep the most recent value until a new value comes along that changes that value. I think that might be more what we're looking for, so that we could see how this data changes over time and the impact of different events. And if we play this, you'll notice it does display differently, and you can see the impact of the number of cancellations versus the number of delays at certain periods. So that is our first scene. Very simple. Created a quick visualization and just by plotting in some data points. We're going to add a new scene up in the ribbon and just click Add Scene, and it added a new scene off to our left pane. And what we're going to do is maybe add and focus in on some other data points. So in our new scene, we're going to add a new layer. So with the Power Map, you can have multiple layers showing different sources of data or different attributes of the same data. And that allows you to visually see the impact of one to the other, or correlations, causations, and get a sense as to how the data may or may not relate. So when we add a layer up in our ribbon, we select Add Layer. In our right data pane again, we now have layer 2. And we, just like at the beginning of before, we need to select what is the geographic data point we're going to map. And in this case, our geographic data point, we're going to look at things as a destination. So each of these airports is both an origin city as well as a destination city. So we'll look at it as a destination city, destination state. And let's zoom in a little bit. Whoops, not out. And it plotted out those data points. We'll say next. And this time, what I'm interested in layering is the amount of time that's accumulated each day for delays. So if we select our delay time, you'll notice that it added a new column for each of these cities. And you can see the time that each city has for the delays. One thing I'd like to point out is that there are a lot of different visualizations that are available in Power Map. We've been playing so far with the column. We also have available the bubble, the heat map, and the region. A little bit later, we're going to add some heat map. What I'd like to do is show you the bubble. So if we use our drop down on the type, select bubble, you'll notice that the visual changes to a bubble beneath each of those columns. Just like before, I need to add some date time because I'd like to see this change over time as well. So we'll come back up to our dates and we'll add our date key. And just as before, I'm going to change that setting so that I see the most recent value, so it correlates a little more closely to our delayed and canceled information. And if we play this, you can see how there may be some relative changes or differences, or how they may be very similar, the number of delays and the number of or the amount of delay time. And if we even wanted to, we could focus in on one of the cities, maybe San Francisco, play this over time and see, while they may not have a lot of delays, when they have delays, their time generally are much longer. Now we're going to add a third scene. So we'll go back up to our ribbon and add a scene. I'd like to zoom back out again and look at the entire US. And this time what I'd like to do is add another new layer. This new layer is going to focus on our weather information. So far we've been focusing on a single table. This is our flights information, the number of delays, the number of cancels, the amount of time spent at the airport for each delay. I'd like to see if there's any impact of certain weather events on these delays and cancellations. So we're going to go back to our ribbon and add a layer. And our new layer is going to focus on our weather by station table that you can see on the right pane. And here we have not city and state, but we have latitude and longitude. And it mapped out our information for latitude, longitude. And it plotted out those data points. Now, in our latitude longitude table, we have a lot of interesting data. We've got our Fahrenheit and Celsius degrees, the hourly precipitation, the station pressure, visibility, etc. I'm actually interested, because we've got some interesting events around the Hurricane Sandy, I'd like to see the average wind speed. So we're going to select average wind speed as our marker. And this time, instead of looking at the data as a column or as a bubble, this kind of information, and in particular, weather kind of data, maps out really nicely as a heat map. So if we add that as a heat map, you can see a third layer underneath the other two, showing the average wind speed per location. And you can see even in Chicago, the Windy City, much redder kind of value, which means there's a higher average wind speed than you'd find in other parts of the U.S. Now, the place where I need to map this together, so we've got our weather data, we've got our flight data, but remember, we also want to play this over time, so we'll add our date key so that we can see the average wind speed and see that at each specific date point and data point. So we can come back and we can play this. See those values change over time. Some additional visualizations that you can take advantage of. At the top ribbon, you'll notice that there are a lot of nice little icons. We can select a flat map if we would like to see this flatten out. And you'll notice it just changes things slightly and gives us a different visual representation of that data. Now we're going to add one final scene. And what I'd like to do is come back up to our ribbon. We're going to add a scene. We're going to show you some of the advanced visualizations. And this time I'm going to take the flat map off. I'm going to keep this as a rounded globe. And we're going to look at a period of time when Hurricane Sandy was traveling up the eastern seaboard and the impact to our delays or cancellations, the amount of time that flights were delayed, and how far into the United States we saw this impact. So let's zoom it back out a little bit, and we're going to scroll this over, and we're going to add a new layer. Our new layer is going to focus on our table called Sandy Data. And this, again, was that data we looked at the beginning with the latitude, longitude, and it mapped out the path of Hurricane Sandy, and say next. And I'd like to see the wind mile per hour for each of those data points. Get rid of our legend. And again, it's weather-related data, and I tend to see this map out very nicely as a heat map. We can zoom in a little bit. Watch this travel up the eastern seaboard. And we're going to make a few changes to make this a little more visually appealing. The first change is up in the ribbon, you'll see an option for themes. I'm going to select a new theme, maybe add a little bit of color. I'm also going to select from the ribbon map labels. That will let us see what countries, what cities, what areas were hit with Hurricane Sandy. I also don't like the way that these data points are very disconnected, and I'd like to maybe have this look a little more fluid for my end users. So in the right-hand pane, we're going to come back to that right-hand pane, and we're going to select our gear option, which is just going to bring up properties. This is where we're going to play with some of the advanced properties of our visual. The first thing I'd like to do is look at this radius of influence. And if we play with the radius of influence, you'll notice that it changes our map a little bit, our Hurricane Sandy data. It makes it a little bit more fluid. And I'm a little more happy this way. I'm also going to select up in our options. We've got this scene options. We're going to select scene options. And under scene option, this is where we can add some effects. So as we play our tour, which we'll play in just a little bit, the transition and the way that the tour adds movement is available within our scene options. So we'll come under effects. And under effects, you'll see that we've got the option to do circles, valleys, figure eights, etc. We're going to select push in. We're going to maybe change a little bit about how fast or slow the push in will happen. And I also want to change the time, because I'm really only interested in this scene focusing on those dates when Hurricane Sandy was impacting us. And that happened right around the 21st of October through right around the beginning of November. So we'll bring this back to November 3rd is when we started to see the airlines clear up. As we come back to our map, one additional thing, I might change my date time by right-clicking and selecting Edit. And I want to change the format of how that date time is displayed. And I'd like it just to be our date. So we'll format that a little bit better, move that off to the side. And now we can play our tour. And you'll see our first scene, which was just our cancels and delays by destination or by origin. We're going to focus in on San Francisco and the California airports and see the amount of time that you see for each delay. It's going to flatten out, and we're adding a new layer with our weather data, and our heat map has been added into this with a little bit of movement. Now we're going to focus, and we're looking at Hurricane Sandy. And as we looked at Hurricane Sandy, one thing I forgot to do is add our date time. So we'll come back to our data type. We're going to simply go ahead and add date and time. And we can play that one again. And we can watch it move up the seaboard with the rest of the visualizations. Back to San Francisco. Flatten our map. Looking at the wind mile per hour. And then back to our globe with Hurricane Sandy moving up the seaboard. So as you noticed, I was playing a little bit with the date time formatting here. You can right click anywhere in the map and you can add a text box. So that's one way to annotate and say, you know, this is Hurricane Sandy. And you can add some text here about, you know, from October 21st through November 2nd or something of that nature, create that, and it creates a little text label. So that's one thing that you can do, and you can move this around. It's very mobile. Another thing that you can do is if you find something of interest, you know, like we did in our second scene, you can right-click and you can add an annotation. So perhaps we'd like to add an annotation to our destination city and call out something like long delay times in San Fran, and say okay.
The next thing I want to do is look at some data from Napoleon's March in 1812, and I want to try using PowerMap for this. This concept was presented to me many years ago at a seminar for Edward Tufte, where he had a visualization of Napoleon's army. If you see in gold here, what you see is the Latin long of the army that he had going into Russia. And you'll see that it started at about 400,000 men, ultimately ended up returning with about 10,000 men here. So pretty fascinating that you see the latitude, the longitude, the size of the army. And then on the bottom, you also see the temperature as they came back away from battle. You can see that the temperature was dropping. They had a ton of casualties here as they hit Moscow. And I'll show you some stats in a second in terms of how the army got so decimated, going from 400,000 down to about 10,000 here. So, but the beauty about this is that you see that you've got a geospatial component, a lat long, you've got an army size, you've got temperature, and also you can even see that as the army came back here, that this black section here, they were actually joined by reinforcements. It bolstered the army a bit, but then you can see this river crossing here, that they lost several thousand men in the river crossing. The ice broke through and many thousands of men died here. So ultimately they came back with a fraction of the folks. They got joined here at the end again. And but just a complete rout of the army. So the question is, you know, how can we visualize this with modern tools? If you go to this site here, this wayfind.com, the purveyor of this website actually has a different way of showing the same data. Again, kind of in a circle, showing the city, showing the date, showing the size of the army. So lots of different ways to show this. And I like this too, that it shows that that 190,000 were captured, that about 125,000 were killed in battle, and 100,000 died of hunger, cold, and sickness, and about 10,000 survived. So about 2% survived. Again, you can see that really well in this graphic here. If you go to this Revisions of Menard, and Menard was the one that portrayed the army, there's lots of data here that you can download and PDFs and SAS data that you can import. I did my best to kind of get a sense of this data. It's pretty cryptic, and you'll see you've got things like the city, you've got Latin long, you've got army size, you've got advancing and retreating. I took the degrees below zero in Celsius, multiplied by 100, just to get a magnitude there. And then I've also got a date component, and this is 1812, not 2012. So let's go ahead and do a launch power map. What I'm going to do is just create a new tour here. And in this tour, what we're going to see is that we have a Latin long that we've already predefined, and we're going to have a date component. So immediately we can see that we've got a date, and we've got a size of the army. So let's go ahead and get a sense of, well, where is this? We also want to find out where this is. So let's go ahead, and what we'll do is we're going to add some map labels just to make sure that we're in the right part of the world. And yeah, it looks like we definitely are. So let's go ahead and play this initially. What this is going to show us is the size of Napoleon's army out and back. Now, it would be nice if we could differentiate this by advance and retreat. So let's go ahead and click that so that we know when he was advancing and when he was retreating with his army. So again, we'll play this going out. Pretty fascinating to see the size of the army going out and kind of as it was decimated coming back. If we wanted to, we could look at this in the context of a bubble map. And we might want to come to our time dimension and look at data showing just until it's replaced. So we get a size of the army out, a size of the army back. We could also look at this in the context of something like data just showing up for an instant. So let's go ahead and look at that, kind of seeing the army moving out, the army moving back. Now we might want to take this again and put it in the context of, say, a column chart, and then let's go ahead and add a layer on this so that we can get a sense of the temperature as well. So let's go ahead and add this. What we're going to do now is take this the coldness factor, and we're going to add this as well. So let's go ahead in our Latin long, and add our date. We'll add the temperature component, and again now we can kind of see the size of the army as well as we're going to be able to see the temperature. So let's go ahead and play this and see how it looks. I'll move this out of the way so we can see it a little bit better. What you're going to see then is the size of the army decreasing while the temperature increases. So again, lots of things you can do with this. You can play with the settings and the layers if you kind of want to change the size, the thickness, things like that to get a little bit better resolution. But there's plenty you can do to play around with this data. Again, I'd love to see you improve on this and see different scenarios that you come up with. And hopefully this gives you some ideas on what you can do with PowerMap. What I want to show you now is a data visualization from Hans Rosling. If you're familiar with TED.com, then you've probably seen this presentation, The Best Stats You've Ever Seen. It's an interesting visualization, and it really focuses on fertility rates around the world and how those fertility rates are changing over time as women get more educated and as industrialization happens. So it looks at the size of families. It looks at the size of countries. There's several factors it looks at, and I'll show you an example of what those are. So it looks at the fertility rate, how many children people are having, shows the life expectancy of people, and it shows the population size. So the question here is, as time goes by, and as industrialization happens, what happens to life expectancy and what happens to fertility rates? In a perfect environment, Life expectancy would go up as fertility went down, meaning that we'd be having less children, but they'd be living longer. And those populations would be perhaps growing, perhaps shrinking, and that's kind of what we wanted to see. Now, if you go to this gapminder.com and go to the data section, that's where you can find data from Hans Rosling, the guy that did that. So if you come to this URL and go to data, then it's possible to come in here and say you want to look at, say, fertility rate, children per women. So I'll just highlight this and put that into the site. If I came into here and I type this in, that is going to ultimately give me a link to a spreadsheet here. And if I copy the shortcut here, then I can paste that actually into Excel. So let's go into Excel. Let's go into Power Query, and let's pull data from the web. Now, I could put that URL that I just got here, or if you want to be really fancy, what we can do is I've gone through and made a tiny URL of fertility rate, of life expectancy, and of population. So we'll go ahead and cheat on that and just pull these in. So let's go ahead and replace this, PowerMap 1. And what we've got here is the data that relates to this. So we're just going to, what we're going to look at is, what we first want to do is understand what the data is. You can see that we've got data going back to the 1800s. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to say that the first row is headers. So we can see that now we've got the year on here. I'm actually wanting to go 1962. Until 2011. So what I'll do is I'll remove everything but that. So from 1961 back to 1800, I'll remove this data. And you do that by essentially highlighting and then hitting delete. So remove columns. Now what this is going to leave us with is data about all these countries, and it's going to take us up into 2011. I'll delete 2012 because it may not have the latest and greatest data there. All right, so now what we can see is we've got this data that goes from 2011 back to 62. Now, what we can do also is we can unpivot these columns. This is fairly easy to do, as you can see in this context. It's very difficult to do just for your average person on the street. So really powerful capability there. We also might want to change this into, say, something that's numeric. So let's go ahead and change it. It's already a number, actually. That's good. Same thing with this. We want to make sure that's a number as well. Okay. So now we've got our country. We've got the year. And then we've got the value. Now, what we had said was for this measure, this is actually fertility rate. So let's go ahead and change this to, what we're gonna do is change the column name. So country, year, fertility. All right, so there we've got country, year, fertility. We'll call this fertility. Okay. So now we've pulled this data in. You can see that the data is down here. I'm going to get rid of this tab here. Call this fertility. All right, we're done with that. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go, now we've got the fertility rates by company, what we're going to do is go grab life expectancy. So let's go into Power Query again. Go to this PowerMap 2. Again, PowerMap 2 is going to go map to life expectancy off the Hans Rosling site. What we're going to do is kind of the same exercise. We're going to grab the data, and we're going to say that we have headers in the first column. We're also going to grab everything 62 to 2011. So let's go do that. And then what we'll do is we'll take our data, we'll pivot it down. So that we've got country, we've got year, let's go rename this life expectancy. Okay, we'll rename this to life expectancy. We'll also make sure that our column here is number. We've got a text here. We'll change this to number as well. And then we're going to hit OK on this. So this is our life expectancy tab. Let's go ahead and rename this to life expectancy. Okay. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to pull in our population. So let's go ahead and grab this as our URL. This is, again, population over time. So let's minimize this. Go to Power Query. Pull this from our Hans Rosling site. Grab the data. We're going to say use the first row as header. We're going to grab everything 62 and later. And now what we'll do is we'll take all of our columns and we'll unpivot those. So we've got country, got year, and population. Okay, let's go ahead and bring this in. And I failed to rename this to population, so let's do it here. And go ahead and rename this population. Okay, so now we've got fertility rates by country by year. We've got life expectancy by country by year. And we've got population by country by year. Now that we've got three tables pulled in from gapminder.org, we've got fertility, life expectancy, and population. What we need to do is figure out a way to get to leverage the country and year information to pull in a singular table that's got all of this in one place. So this is where we're going to go back to Power Query. We want to essentially merge these tables. So we'll take fertility and life expectancy. What we're going to do is we're going to grab the essentially primary key, and this will allow us to combine the fertility and life expectancy numbers. We'll change the column from selecting all just to life expectancy. And essentially, at this point, we'll be done with this. We also want to make sure that our data type, as we pull this data in, is the correct data types. Because what we're going to do is we're going to leverage all this information in our new table. So let's go ahead and make sure this is kind of more human readable. Life expectancy. There we go. So now we've got country, year, fertility, life expectancy. Country should also be the correct data type. So let's go ahead and make sure that that's correct data type. Yep, that's text. Okay, good. So now let's come in here. We've got fertility, life expectancy. What we want to do now is grab population and also pull that data in as well. So let's go ahead. And once this data is loaded, what we're going to do is come in and grab the population. So now with our merge table, we've got a general field here, and we've got a numeric field, which is great because now we can match that with our next merge here. So let's go back into Power Query. Let's go ahead and do a merge. We're going to take our merge table plus our population table. We'll select the primary key again of country and year. So now that we've got the merge table and the population table essentially joined, we can hit the OK button here. What this is going to do then is give us the option to pull in population information. Again, since we already have country in here, we don't need that. So we'll just go ahead and grab population. And as you can see, now we've got the table that we desired. We've got country, year, fertility, life expectancy, and population. Let's go ahead and rename this to something without this new column header or prefix, and we'll hit done. What this is going to do then is going to give us a table with all the information that we need. So we've accomplished our goal now. We've gone to Hans Rosling's site, Gapminder. We grabbed information on fertility, life expectancy, and population here. We pulled that into Excel, and what we did is we took these three tables, we merged them on country and year for fertility and life expectancy in the first sheet. The second sheet here has exactly what we want: country, year, fertility, life expectancy, population. Again, this is for fairly unstructured data that's disparate data. So it's all pretty phenomenal that we've got this one table now that we can come in here and we can rename it to Hans Rosling. Now that we have the data shaped the way we wanted to, we just need to make sure that we have the correct data types. So let's look at country, year, fertility rate, life expectancy to make sure that we've got numbers where we expect numbers and text where we expect text. We do in fact have that, so let's go to the insert menu and go to Power View to visualize this data. So right now it's giving us more of a grid type format. We can get rid of this anything that relates to Power Query. So we've got this grid format here. Let's go ahead and expand this. And ultimately what I want to do is kind of start fresh. So I'm going to kind of remove everything on here and kind of walk through the steps that I would go through to create a visualization here. What we'll do now is we'll look at our merge two table. This has country in it. We also have year as well, but ultimately we don't want year to be a measure. We want it to be something that we're not summarizing. Also, we want to start looking at the type of chart that we're looking at or visualization. We actually want to do a scatter plot. This is ultimately going to give us something that we can create a time series with and try to get some insights into our data. Let's look at life expectancy and population as well. And what we also want to do is put our year in a play axis. That's ultimately going to give us the ability to look at this data over as a time series. So you can see as we're making these changes, we're going to get more and more clarity. We also want to look at population sizes that aren't extreme. So as you can see now, we have kind of a timeline down here. We have number of children shown on the bottom. So some countries are very, very high in population, but low in life expectancy. Others are very high in life expectancy and very low in fertility rates. You also see over time that as we play on the play axis, some countries that are high challenge countries that maybe have had civil wars or dictators, things like that, that you'll see the population rates actually, or life expectancy actually drop over time. So what we're ultimately expecting to see, though, is that countries will start with high fertility rates and low life expectancies, and over time they'll all move to the upper left. So let's go ahead and see if we can prove this out. So what we're seeing now is we're seeing that over time, countries folks don't expect to live real long in some of these non-industrialized countries, but over time, as education kicks in, as women go back to work, as there's better medical programs, you'll see that the data moves up and to the left, meaning that they're having less children and they're living longer. So again, this kind of proves some of the theories that we had thought before, and pretty fascinating. You can also do things like you can filter out some of the data, and if you wanted to look at specific countries, again, that's possible. You can filter on country if you want, or you could filter by fertility, life expectancy, population. So lots of things you can do in this to kind of get the data that you want from the countries that you're interested in by filtering on population, by filtering on other factors as well. So hopefully this gives you some insights into how to shape data, how to visualize it with Microsoft Power BI, and good luck, and feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. Thanks. This is Mike Wilmot at Microsoft.com. Appreciate your time.